From NPR News, this is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. The Supreme Court says Americans have a right to own and keep a loaded handgun at home for self-defense and hunting. In a historic 5-4 decision last week, the High Court overturned the 32-year-old ban on handguns in the nation's capital. President Bush welcomed the ruling, as did John McCain. Barack Obama said he supported an individual's right to bear arms, but said the right was not absolute. But some lawmakers were more critical. In a moment, we'll hear from Democratic Congresswoman Eleanor Holmes Norton, who represents the District of Columbia. After the ruling, she made a statement saying that the ruling could produce, quote, an increase in accidents and gun violence. But first, we're joined by Bob Levy. He's a senior fellow in constitutional studies at the Cato Institute and co-counsel for Richard Heller. Heller is the plaintiff who challenged the more than 30-year-old ban on handguns in Washington, D.C., and won. Welcome to the show, Bob.
Nice to be with you.
So what was your interest in litigating this case, and what was your role in pulling people together on this case?
Two attorneys from the Institute for Justice approached me back in 2002 and suggested that the time might be ripe for a Second Amendment challenge. I added some legal expertise and a few dollars to the effort, and we went forward and signed up six plaintiffs and another attorney and pressed forward with the suit, which took 5.5 years to litigate. My interest was plainly to vindicate the meaning of the Second Amendment and the right secured by the Second Amendment. And in that effort, we have succeeded, I'm happy to say.
The Second Amendment says, in part, a well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. But, you know, America during the Revolution is not America today. There's different kinds of guns that can cut people in half, literally. Have you ever thought that what you were litigating for is not what the founders intended?
Well, as you mentioned, Barack Obama has said the Second Amendment is not absolute. I don't know anyone who believes that the Second Amendment is absolute. After all, the First Amendment says Congress shall make no law about free speech, but we have rules against shouting fire in a crowded theater and incitement to riot and obscenity and defamation and extortion and a whole line of cases that have upheld restrictions on free speech. In the same sense, there are obviously some things that can be regulated. We did not deny that. You can keep weapons away from crazy people, from kids. You can keep weapons away from violent felons. You can keep some classes of weapons away from everybody. You can keep weapons out of highly sensitive areas like elementary schools, for example. So this is, I think, a straw man that the anti-gun folks have raised. Responsible people, and I would count myself among them, do not argue for an absolutist view of the Second Amendment.
What do you think of studies, including a long-term study done in D.C. and Baltimore, that suggests that bans don't actually do anything to stop homicides and suicides tied to handguns? Is this decision tied to that kind of a regulation or a scientific foundation?
There's been a great deal of literature on the effect of handgun bans and other gun regulations, and I think it's quite clear to say that the weight of the data suggests that these handgun bans have not been effective. The most encompassing studies have been by two federal government agencies. Back in 2004, the National Academy of Sciences reviewed 253 journal articles and 99 books and 43 government publications and evaluated 80 gun control measures, and they couldn't identify a single gun control regulation that reduced violent crime or suicide or accidents. And the Centers for Disease Control found the same thing. So while there is evidence on both sides, I think the weight of the evidence suggests that these gun laws do not work. Washington, D.C. is certainly a case in point. But I want to emphasize that our lawsuit was about the meaning of the Constitution. It was not solely about weighing scientific evidence and getting expert witnesses to testify about the effectiveness of gun laws. If gun laws are effective, and I doubt that they are, but if they are, and yet the Second Amendment says we can have a gun for self-defense, if it's necessary to revise that, the answer is go repeal the Second Amendment. Go adopt a different rule. Don't act as though the Constitution didn't exist and that it was made out of tissue paper.
What about common sense? There was the case recently where a gentleman was facing a potential robbery home invasion. He shot two people. And law enforcement officers said, don't shoot them. Just go in your house. Does this give carte blanche to people who have guns to go out and just shoot? Maybe they feel threatened, but maybe it's not the best thing to do.
It doesn't give carte blanche to anybody in two respects. First of all, the lawsuit is not about carrying guns outside the home. This is about possessing an ordinary garden variety firearm for self-defense within the home. So with respect to going out on the streets of the nation's capital and shooting people, this lawsuit has nothing to say about that. If that's going to be litigated, it'll have to be litigated later. The second issue is that the laws about self-defense remain on the books. You cannot, just because you have a right to a firearm in your home, willy-nilly shoot anybody that you feel like it within the context of the privacy of your own residence. There are still laws that say when you can shoot in self-defense and when you cannot. Those laws have not been changed.
Do you foresee a ripple effect when, for example, Ward Connerly started challenging affirmative action, you know, starting with the UC, the University of California system? There was then a domino effect. Just quickly, do you see there being a series of other litigations that follow on this?
I hope so. There are 44 states, however, that already recognize an individual right. There are 48 states that have concealed carry with varying degrees of police discretion. So the real issue is cities like Washington, D.C., that are operating, other cities operating under delegated state power that have handgun bans like D.C.'s, and that would be Chicago and San Francisco and Toledo and, to a lesser extent, New York. They're going to be challenged, and I hope they are overturned, as has been D.C.'s.
Well, Bob, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you very much. Nice to be with you.